Hey, flamethrowers, Amira here with a hot take. I am joined by Andrea Carter, ESPN and SEC Network analyst, basketball analyst, former Vol, Lady Vols. You know, we have so much love for UT here at Burn It All Down. And I'm super excited to catch up and talk about the end of the season of the NCAA tournament, which I can't believe is already over. It feels like it came and went so fast. And then as we turn our eyes to the draft tonight, the WNBA draft kicks off. And so I had to call you up and get your insight on what's going on in women's basketball. So welcome to Burn It All Down.
What, turn up the flames or, you know, what, yeah. Burn it all down?
Light a match, all of it.
Light exactly. A match, there we go.
Yeah, so, you know, usually we burn the stuff we don't like in sports, like, you know, trash NCAA decisions to continue to deprive women of equitable access to sports, things like that.
Got it. And then we highlight
torchbearers who are leading the way of how we love sports to see, like yourself and a lot of other Black women absolutely killing it in the analyst game right now.
Love that. Shout out to Monica McNutt.
Yes. Oh, she's killing it.
Maria Taylor.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Lots of friends of the show, LaChyna, Ari, like, you know, it's just a whole crew. I feel like there's a moment.
Yep.
And we could definitely talk about that as well. So first and foremost, what a postseason tournament that was. I mean, what were your biggest surprises? Were you happy with the ending? What shocked you from the tournament, and what were you happy to see?
You know, I was so happy to see such competitive basketball. You know, like the games were, it was almost where, you know, how everybody thinks of March Madness, and even the March Madness tag is just for the men, mm-hmm. right? And it's March Madness because anybody could win. Right. And everybody says that about the men's tournament. But the thing about the women's is you've always kind of known who is going to make it to the Final Four, who is going to make it. And that was not the case this year,
absolutely.
Right? Like, and that's the fun part. Like, if anything, there was a bigger push this year more than ever that, hey, the women need to be March Madness too. And we are March Madness, you know, Wright State, the upsets, Arizona, yeah. And just the games going down to the wire, but not because it was two bad basketball teams, like games right. going down to the wire because there were two quality, talented, well-coached basketball teams going at it. And
absolutely.
I think that it was just, it was so much fun. Arizona was obviously, you know, such a surprise to me. Really, the Pac-12, like shout out to the Pac-12 because I'm obviously an SEC person and we always say SEC is the most competitive, you know, league in the nation. But the Pac-12, you know, was like, hey, here we are.
Yeah.
And so just I thought it was such a fun tournament. Great basketball. Just all around. I couldn't have been happier for any year, but especially in a pandemic that these mm-hmm. the women just showed up and showed out.
Absolutely. Now, I agree with you. Shout out to the Pac-12. I have to say, I wasn't surprised by Arizona, but mostly because they were my sleeper pick last year. Former student Amari Carter was on the team balling out. And I was like, and there's tape. It's on the record for anybody who wants to go find it. I was like, watch out for Arizona. So I was, you know, even though they beat A&M and I was like really sad for Lexi, I was super hyped to see that for Adia and, you know, for Ari. And I was really happy about that. But I was surprised about the SEC's general showing because I said all year, SEC basketball this past year felt just at such a high level. Every game was competitive. All of these schools were really looking like, you talk about parity overall, but parity in the SEC this year to me, right. Like I was watching these games, I mean, Kentucky and Arkansas and, you know, LSU and like all of these games were hard fought. There was bodies hitting the floor everywhere,
yeah.
You know, so I was, I think, actually a bit surprised that the SEC in the postseason didn't have that kind of end of the road that the Pac-12 ended up having. So I would say that was definitely caught me a little bit off guard, but it was, I agree with you. The madness was all on the women's side this year. Like, you know, a lot of those men's games of, you know, Jalen Suggs late games, theatrics notwithstanding, a lot of the games were just not super compelling. And yet on the women's side, like you said, down to the wire, last shot, last missed shot, last rebound, you know, absolutely. And even just fighting about fouls and calls. And it just, there was a kind of energy crackling in the air around it.
Oh, yes. And I loved the just involvement from pros, you know, men and women in the women's tournament. And, you know, you did say the SEC, it was so heartbreaking because in my opinion, like sleeper teams from the SEC would have been the two teams that like didn't get in, Ole Miss and LSU, because of their defense, right? Like so many of the teams that we saw end up winning or pulling off upsets were the ones that played defense. And so I think that that was, you know, I would have been so hyped because I think Ole Miss could have made a pretty deep run had they made it because of their scrappy defense. So as a whole, yeah, the SEC, we got to do better next year. We got to get further.
Yeah. And you know what? I would say like the things about basketball this year that really stuck out to me was really, you know, it's always a story about Black women for me, but like the SEC and the number of Black women coaches they have in the SEC and Black women analysts and just balling out. Like for me, I think there's such a bright future for where that specific, you know, league is going. That I'm so hyped to see it next year and to see some of these rivalries that people, like you said, it's not even on the map, but like those defenses, like first of all, why can't A&M beat LSU at LSU? Like it's just like these are the questions. So I am like so excited to see, you know, what happens next year. But as much as we, you know, can reflect, of course we have the WNBA draft upon us. So tonight, 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN, we have yet another WNBA draft, and we have a bunch of people, you know, such a talented draft class coming into this. There's been quick movement, you know, the Wings traded that number seven pick to the Sparks right before the draft deadline. So shaking things up a little bit, but I think it's kind of, everybody's expecting obviously Charlie Collier to go first. Who else do you have your eye on in this draft class?
Oh man. You know, I think that Ari McDonald definitely made a strong case just with the way that she played, her dominance, the chip on her shoulder, just the fearlessness, the ability to get to the rim. You know, I was listening to Adia Barnes actually in an interview, and I completely agreed with her when she said that Ari might actually shoot a better percentage in the WNBA because she won't have to do everything.
Right.
So I see some people talking about, you know, her, you know, McDonald's shooting percentage and field goal percentage, but she's not going to have to work as hard to get those shots. Right. So I think that there's so much potential there for her just because of the way that she was able to put a team on her back and play in such big moments. It's like, oh, she won't even have to do all that when she comes to our team. Right. And so WNBA teams, I definitely think could think that. I think Dejanay Carrington as well, just a, right. You know, just such a big, as far as scoring and physicality. Like when I think of Charlie Collier, when I think of Dejanay Carrington, I think of like grown women, you know, like,
and I would put Arella with them. You know, that is absolutely like my big three. Cause not only are they grown women, they're such versatile grown women.
Yep, exactly. And that's the thing. I think they go early because they're strong the way they move. They're powerful. You know, some people, they get to the league and they've got to get that strength, or they've got to get that kind of attitude. I feel like all three of those women have kind of that grown-ish factor about them where it's just basketball. There's nothing else really that they have to, you know, learn. They've just got that it factor and they've just got to play the game. And I think that that'll be, you know, their games translate really well to being pros, in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you. And the other person who I would kind of put up there, maybe just like one half step down, is Chelsea Dungy. And I think that she has the potential to be that same kind of playmaker. I just think that, you know, her team structure, again, relied on her a lot. And I think that she's somebody who we haven't really even seen her potential. So I'm really excited to see, you know, where Chelsea falls as well.
Yep. Yeah, I know. It's all just so, I don't want to say like, just it could be anything, right? Because you don't know like our team, what are teams looking for the most, right? And you also don't know the internal dynamics of a team. Like teams sometimes when they're looking to bring in a player, they're also looking, you have to think about personalities. And we don't even know the ins and outs of the personalities of the team. So that's what makes the draft so interesting and mock drafts and things like that. You know, like for me, I'm like, oh, I feel like Chelsea Dungy could fit in Vegas because obviously they don't have Kayla McBride, who was a really dynamic scorer, who was a wing. So I'm like, oh, Chelsea Dungy, dynamic scorer, you know, can defend kind of the four, the three and the four. But we also don't know what else the Aces might be looking for, right? But I think that there are just so many players that in this draft class that can be solid pieces to a team that needs them, you know?
Absolutely, absolutely. And I mean, I think that, you know, part of that is like we also know the college players, but of course, there's some really great players coming in from overseas. I mean, I really think it's hard. And so then we're at a place that we get to every year, which is that there is so much talent and just not enough spots. And I know that there's been this renewed conversation this year about that, especially we saw this last year with COVID, right? That because of COVID, some early draft picks couldn't even step foot on the court to try to vie for their spot. And now it's kind of bottlenecked as well. And so there's a discussion kind of underway of is do we add more roster spots? Do we think of expansion? Is it both? Is it something else? You know, where are you kind of at that point when you're looking at the W and you're looking at this enormous traction that they keep building, you know, especially from that CBA all the way through their pioneering season last year, and they just have kept that momentum absolutely. And now they're kind of building with the momentum of the tournament. So it just feels like women's basketball is having a certain type of chapter, a certain type of moment. I was talking to Sue Bird for this thing we did for South by Southwest, and she said it feels different right now. The energy just feels different. And so I'm wondering for you know, who's been in and around the game of basketball as a player and as an analyst, when you're looking at the W now, you're looking at the future of women's basketball, what are some things that you're thinking about? How do we better use all of this talent so that people aren't getting pushed out of the league when they, you know, could absolutely compete?
Yeah, you know, it's so interesting because I feel like I think there definitely could be one or two more teams, right? Like, obviously, you know, you put one on the East, maybe you put one on the West. And because there are so many talented players, like, there are franchise players and like a few, and you want to have a few like on each team, right? Like in the NBA, there's like a big three on certain teams or a big two, right? And I think that in the WNBA, there are a lot of teams with like franchise players that you could separate and create a whole new team with, you know, and like build a team around players that are on teams together right now. So I absolutely definitely think that there could be more teams, you know, and you see people that have a ton of money, right, that are looking to buy an NBA team. And I think that the vibe could change very quickly to instead of buying a current NBA team, maybe I'll create another WNBA team. You know what I mean? Just because, like you said with Sue, the energy is so strong around these women and these athletes and what they're doing. And, you know, they're just filling spaces that have never been filled out before. You know, they're all over fashion. We've got women in gaming now. We've got so many women doing so many different things in the WNBA. It's in its 25th season. And why not create one more team and generate more hype around these women, right? And so I think that there's definitely momentum. I think that there could be conversations for sure. And obviously, I don't know the logistics or ins and outs or dynamics of what it takes to create a team, but if the facilities are there and the space is there during the WNBA season, you know, who knows? So I definitely think that the league is going to grow and expand because the talent level, like if you think about Sabrina Ionescu, right? When Paige Bueckers comes into the league, Sabrina Ionescu is going to be a fifth-year vet, right? She's not even going to be a rookie anymore, right? And then some of the vets, Skylar Diggins is probably still going to be playing at that time, right? So it's like, where we have to create room for the amazing rookies that are coming in, right? Caitlin Clark, Sabrina Ionescu, all these, Aaliyah Boston, right? Mm-hmm. You know, Zaya Cook. When those players get into the WNBA, there are still going to be some veterans that are here right now that are still playing. So we need room. We need more spaces. And it's going to be way even more fun and more competitive, or more roster spots. I mean, the league, there are a lot of games. So having a few more spots on each team could also give some of the franchise players more rest time. You know what I mean? So there are obviously a lot of things that I think could either generate more hype if we add more teams, or create even better basketball if we add more roster spots and can take a little pressure off the wear and tear of these women. So a lot of options that I hope that whoever is in decision-making chairs, which I hope to be in one day, I hope it just keeps going with this momentum.
Absolutely. And I would say the other thing I'm really excited for is just like what happens when the game changes and you watch vets have to reinvent their game. Because one of the things that I took away from you know, watching people like Cameron Brink, who is, by the way, my favorite player because she played like I used to play, which is super aggressive. I saw that push. Yes, I don't care. But the thing about players like Cameron and, like, you know, we talked about this, some of these other players in the draft, is that they literally are a new kind of prototype of player, like who can out rebound you, can play down low, who can you know, shoot from behind the arc, who can shoot mid range, who can get down and back and on D. Like, it's just so going to be so interesting to watch how the league contends with players who have trained in a kind of new type of versatility.
Yes,
that are really kind of coming on. And, you know, if we can get some equitable weight rooms and, you know, things like that, seeing how strength training and conditioning and, you know, more investment in resources actually pours talent into the league, that also changes the face of the league, that requires vets to, you know, like vets we've seen across sports who've reinvented their games and come back better, stronger, more precise. You know, I just think the future is up and up from here. And one part of that, you know, to bring it all the way back full circle, is it is so dope to also get this game brought to us by the voices and broken down by the voices of Black women. And, you know, it seems like there's a cohort of y'all who are kind of just coming and just popping up, whether it's on ESPN or, you know, Candace holding it down on TNT, or, you know, just everywhere I look, I'm like, yo, there is definitely like a cohort of them coming on strong, which is perfect to see. What is it like? What has your journey been like? What is it like to be an analyst right now in this moment with this kind of group? And where do you see, you know, on the sidelines, the future being for Black women in ball?
You know, I think I couldn't have asked for a better time or position to come into this field, because, I mean, you said it's like a cohort. It really does feel like a family and a team, right? Like, if I call Carolyn Peck, she's either going to answer or she's going to text me and say, hold on, or she's going to call me back. Same thing with LaChyna, same thing. Like Maria, she's one of the busiest women in the world. And I texted her one day and I was like, listen, I really need to talk to you about something. And she got back to me, right? Or Monica McNutt, she'll send me people like, hey, you know, maybe something that she couldn't do, right? Because she's all over the place, literally doing every single thing in the world because she's amazing. But things that she can't do, she doesn't just like keep them in her back pocket. She'll send them to me. She'll be like, hey, do you want to do this? Because I'm already booked for something, right? And so there's just a togetherness. LaChyna Robinson, I've called her in tears. I've called her to rejoice. It is so amazing to see and feel genuinely that people around you and people that are in the same space as you want you to do well, right? Like, it is the best. Like, I have so many examples. I think about just being on set with Monica and we're breaking down, okay, how are we going to do, you know, this halftime? And I might have one game and she has another game, but she might be like, oh, Drea, you know, I just noticed this stat. You should say that. Right. So you see how, like, it's not her being like, hey, let me say this about your game. She's like, hey, Drea, you should say this. And I'm like, oh, I didn't even notice that. Right. And yeah, so there's just a teammate feel, or I see her on something, or, you know, LaChina, like I'll tune in on things just to listen to her, or Ross, or anyone, just because you want to hear what they're saying and you want to support them. Even with the coaches, like, you know, Dawn Staley has been like, you're doing a great job. And she doesn't have to say that to me. Like she never has to say that to me ever in her life, or Kyra Elzey or Nikki Fargus. I mean, mm-hmm. all of us, there is just a togetherness. And I'm so thankful, because you hear horror stories about right. women that are territorial of their space, or women that don't want you in their space. And I feel like for all of us, it's like, no, we want as many of us in this space as possible. Exactly. So you need some notes on this team. Here you go. I had them last week. These were the stories I had on them. Use them all, right? Like, it's just, I feel so convicted that my mentors and my colleagues in this space are supportive, and we're a team, and we're, you know, I can almost get emotional about it, because that's what it feels like. And how lucky am I to just be pulled up by and pushed forward by so many amazing women that are just paving the way and just doing this thing. It's awesome. I couldn't be more thankful, because they are, every single woman like is just amazing, and they're just like pulling me along, and here I am just like, you know, just like kind of hanging on to them. Like I even
nah, you're pulling too, sis. You're right there.
You know, I messaged Candace last night, and I was just like, you look amazing and you sound even better, right? And she's in the middle of a show, and she writes me back and is like, thank you, love you, you know, like it's just, there's just a connection, and there's just like a, hey, I'm pulling for you and I'm rooting for you, and I feel that across the board. I think the future is really bright. You know, I've had people reach out to me that might want to get into this space, and I'm very quick to share everything I can, just like the women above me shared for me and shared with me. So I think that for all of us, you know, like Zora, who just called a Bucks game, right? Or for me, like we're kind of the next wave, I think. You know, even, you know, Chinee or anyone that's in the space that's a little bit younger, I think we're going to do the same exact thing that was done for us and pay it forward. And so I just think it's going to keep going, and the future is bright, or the future is of color, or however you want to say it. So it's awesome.
I love it. A flame. Look a at flame. That fire reference. No, absolutely. And I just, it's a testament, you know, every time I see it, I love it, because there's such choices. And like you said, there's horror stories, and it's like, what does it look like to pull along and push up and lift as you climb? And I just am so grateful that y'all are on the screen holding it down and writing columns and tweeting and doing all the things. So, you know, absolutely doing, being torchbearers, passing that torch. I look forward to breaking it down. This will not be the last conversation that we have, for sure.
Yes.
But I have been really appreciative of your voice throughout the NCAA season. And thank you so much for joining Brenna All Down to break down the draft as well. I wish you well. I hope that we have a fun draft night. I hope the coverage isn't janky. So, you know, things to watch for. We're always building, but, you know, like you said, the future is bright. It's a flame. And you and the Black women around you in that cohort give me a lot to root for and hope for moving forward. So Drea, thank you so much for coming on Brenna All Down.
Thank you. Same to you. Keep being great. Love your work. And we're all in this together.